Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott.
And joined by Jules Gill.
Hello, everyone.
Popping by on the weekday. Now, we've not told Mr. Jules Gill what the angle of the podcast is. Me and Josh having a little cheeky conversation upstairs before we came down to the recording booth. And we thought we'd talk about Resident Evil. We thought we'd do something about the future of Resident Evil as an IP. Also, because you guys just recorded a video on we can't talk about because we are embargoed, but we can point you in the vague direction of looking forward to some point in time when that video may or may not be available to stay within the embargo
vague
rules.
Plug ever.
I can't say anything else.
You may or may not enjoy some content that may or may not be coming out soon.
But yes, Resident Evil, it's a thing. It's a cool thing. And there are some talking points surrounding that IP. Yes, like Josh said, Resident Evil 4 Remake is coming up very soon. But I kind of thought we should do a little check-in on Resident Evil as an IP. Mm-hmm. Because to me, there's quite a few interesting talking points. Because of their identity, I feel like, you know, they experimented with first-person stuff in Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 8. But we also had a shift, or a reminder of how awesome third-person Resident Evil is when they did the RE2 and RE3 remakes. Mm-hmm. RE4 is coming up. And even the DLC for RE Village was back into third-person as a toggle. And so I'm kind of just curious. I want to do an open question. Jules, you're raising the little finger.
I'm just going to get my point out right early doors, okay. My friends. I genuinely think that Resident Evil as a franchise is the most successfully incompetent series in the world. And I absolutely love this franchise. Do not get me wrong. If you cut me, I bleed merchant. But when it comes out, the problem is that this game is meant to be a survival horror franchise. Mm-hmm. And every single time they put out a survival horror game, the next one that follows is a little bit more action. It's a little bit more bombastic. It's a little less horrific and more sort of gore for the sake of gore.
True.
Then they get a bit too far and all the fan base just goes, oh, come on, lads. You're getting a bit silly now. It's a bit over
Zombies
the top.
Zombies have got guns
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Yeah. So they just go, oh, okay, Sonic the Hedgehog was a bad idea. So let's just dial it back. Let's just dial it back a little bit and do it again, horror thing, but with a new twist. And let's have a quick look at the franchise to prove that I'm right. Resident Evil 1 comes out. Fantastic. Resident Evil 2 comes out. Bit more action, a little less suspense, but still pretty much on par, if not better in some areas than the sequel. Resident Evil 3 comes out. It's action, baby. Ooh. Let's draw back a bit because the reviews aren't as good for Nemesis despite what people remember about it. So Resident Evil 4 comes out. Boom. It's over-the-shoulder camera. It's suspenseful. It's horrific. It's fantastic. 5 comes out. 6 comes out. Let's redo it again. 7 comes out. It's first person. It's in your face. It's survival horror. Yes. Resident Evil 8 Village comes out. It's action again. So it's worrying me.
Werewolves.
Unless they've got a new angle for Resident Evil 9 coming out. I don't know, man. I think we're going to get very silly very quickly again if we keep down this route. They need to reinvent themselves. Otherwise, they just get a bit too far away from the core message.
Well, going off your like cyclical sets of three nature, then the next game would be the most action-y so far, and then they would reset.
It's going to be Josh's favourite game because it will be basically Resident Evil 6 in first person again. You'll be playing, what's his name, Jake Wesker again. Just being like, it's just, all it is just like you control his fists and feet all at once with PSVR 2.
That's in VR.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Bring back Jake Wesker, man. Bring back those martial arts moves. Show me your special move, Jake Wesker. I want to be doing that in VR, like you said. I think that would be absolutely sick. Give me the Jake Wesker mod for Resident Evil 8 so I can be like absolutely suplexing these werewolves that try to ambush me from the night.
you get a bonus critical damage thing if you can throw an apple in the air, punch a zombie in the face, and catch it before it lands. Just because it's like,
you know,
yes,
what?
We
get, VR's
like,
made
like,
for that.
We get it, Wesker. You are the Devil May Cry reject. We understand this. Like, it's not that franchise. Get out.
Much to the chagrin of my girlfriend, I've been trying to fully get the ability of throwing up my pistol in Resident Evil 8, catching it, then shooting one of the monsters in the face. I can never do it. The gun falls on the floor. I have to scramble to pick it back up, and it's a nightmare. But before the end of this campaign, I will have mastered that technique, and I'll be pulling trick shots like Revolver Ocelot.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. can you let go of a gun, like flip it backwards so it flips backwards and catch it?
I don't think you can like do it around your finger, but you can certainly throw it in the air and like flick it that way and then catch
does
it.
Spin when it's in the air as well.
It does.
You can dual wield in this game, can't you? In the VR version,
yes, you can. And that's
you've got like a shotgun in one hand and a pistol in the other. And you're just walking along like John Rambo, just like bam, 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 bam. It does actually look really good. That, and they actually seem to have put a lot of work into the VR section of this.
Mm.
They have, but interestingly, going back to your point, Jules, it's scarier in VR. But what made Resident Evil 7 so scary in VR is that game was built from the ground up to terrify you, because it was going back to basics almost, trying to re-find its roots. But similar to what you were saying, I almost view Resident Evil as kind of like the Metal Gear of like the survival horror world.
Yes, that
because
is perfect.
Because it does have those kind of like, you know, It more insane, over-the-top B-movie moments, and more importantly, it's driven by a company in this case who clearly wants to do something else, like Hideo Kojima wanted to get away from Metal Gear, and is forced to come back to its roots every time, is humbled every single time by what the fans actually want, which in that case was more Metal Gear by Hideo Kojima, and in this case it's more focus on horror, please.
The thing is, like, thinking about their identity over time, like, and Jules mentioned, like, the sort of cyclical nature of it. Because for me, I mean, I love RE4, like, the original is one of my favorites. I do remember, it's like RE4 is held up as, like, the one where things changed a lot when they started being more over the top, and, like, Salvador and all these over the top characters, like, big bosses and everything. But I feel like there's always a part of them that just can't fully divorce themselves from that. Like, I really hate the final boss in RE7, where, like, you've established a tone for so long.
Yeah.
And then it's
and
like,
Chris is like,
big old. Well, there's him, but it's like the big like goop monster that Baker turns into. It's like this giant squid thing. And I feel like they always kind of want to have that. They almost have the like that new Suicide Squad with the weak spots on the bosses. Yes. And it's like they were kind of doing that in RE7 and stuff. So like, yeah, for their identity, I wonder, to kind of bring it back to that first third person split thing, or that general idea of like, how do they scare you? I want Resident Evil in third person going forward. I don't know if they round out the first person trilogy, but
listen,
I don't know.
You third person lovers are already eating well. Stop being selfish in wanting everything in third person. I'm not asking everything to be in first person, fellas, is what I'm saying. But all
are.
I'm saying is you've got Resident Evil 4. You've got Resident Evil 2 Remake. You've got the 3 Remake. You've got Shadows of Rose. You could even play 8 in third person now, thanks
I'm
to
so
the latest update.
I'm so glad that they added that in.
But it's that weird third person that like Fallout and Elder Scrolls has, where it's not third person really. It's like that it's first person, but the camera's detached and it moves weird.
Only in one of the games, though. At least the other ones are dedicated third person experiences, and you have the choice. I don't have the choice to play Resi 2 in first person. I'd bloody love it, even if it was, you know, Rockstar first person, or if it was Elder Scrolls first person. For me, the thing that Resident Evil is known for, after being a kind of unintentionally shambolic mess from game to game that somehow manages to succeed and gain beloved fans like us, is its constant state of reinvention, whether that's out of desperation for sales or not. Like, I love the fact that we had the zombie era, we had the fixed camera era, we moved away from it for something new, it reinvented itself. When that started getting stale, it reinvented itself again with new characters, with a new perspective, and we got something new. I would like one more first-person Resident Evil game in the main series before it did something new again. Yeah. For as much as I know people love third-person, and this might be sacrilegious, I don't think Resident Evil is healthy if it becomes defined by just one style of play, because it's never been that. It has had eras, for sure, but it's almost too limiting for me to kind of just want to box it in that way and say everything has to be the Resi 4-style over-the-shoulder experience, because it's never been that in totality.
Do you know what I love about it as a series is that it made its changes depending on what tech was coming up at the time. Like, you look at Resident Evil 1, and maybe it's hard to appreciate nowadays when you see how good graphics are and how well we're treated aesthetically. The idea of using the fixed camera angle so that they could put more detail into the backgrounds to make up for the limited performance hardware that they were running on at the time was an inspired choice to make the most atmospheric game that they could. Moving it to the over-the-shoulder perspective to generate that more heightened sense of action and tense as they start closing in around you, you can see people over your shoulder effectively on that, is another way that they used current tech to do it, again with the VR and first-person things. So basically, I believe that Resident Evil is just going to not follow a trend, but it's going to be dictated by what tech is available at the time. And with VR being so prominent and getting a huge resurgence with this PSVR 2, you got to wonder, is that going to be their next sort of like big foray experience that they're just going to deep dive into that and make the most of? Because what does the PSVR 2 add that the original didn't? Is it just better one-to-one motion controls?
Kind of. It's a. Funnily enough, I was talking to Scott about this in the wind-up when we recorded that earlier. Like, to me, it's a sense of scale. It's a sense of immersion. You know, okay. I look at the werewolves in Resident Evil 8, and they're a really cool design, but they didn't scare me in the same way that the Molded or Jack Baker did in Resi 7. But when you have that kind of one-to-one scale, and you're looking at these, you know, really terrifying creature designs, and they're actually imposing on you, there's something about that that elevates the core experience. It's being in fully control of your character, which you try to get in first person. That's the whole point of first person, right? Mm-hmm. You're put in the shoes of someone. You're put in their eyeballs. That's that the disconnect between your controller and that person on a screen is kind of non-existent in VR. Mm-hmm. And it's just that extra level of you are this person. You're living through their eyes that I think that it accentuates.
Do you think that that's why the 7 and 8 have been so successful, and because it's obviously Ethan Winters telling a more personal tale from their perspective in every sense of the word? Do we think that going forward that Resident Evil is going to adopt more of this sort of like, because we're done with Umbrella, we're done with Tricell, we're done with all of these. Of course they appear in the background as the shadowy organizations behind all the bioweapons, but you've got to think to yourself, are we getting into more success by going into personal stories when dealing with extra weird natures and spawn offspring of the Resident Evil franchise?
That's one thing I was going to ask, is like that idea of like Resident Evil's had like its cast of characters for like 20 odd years or whatever. Yeah. It's now more than that. And that idea of like Ethan was like a new character, obviously in REA, I guess spoilers, you know, that doesn't seem like that dude is making it out of there. Yeah. Although people did mind the background of that one bonus scene, and it is him in the distance walking back with towards the car. Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, but I don't know if that's like a vision and Rose can see it or whatever. But either way, that would be a way for them to flesh things out. But I wonder how much people want that original cast of characters, because it's always like, next Resident Evil game, which main character are we getting? And people love the Chris scene in Village, like when you finally get to go in as him. And that sort of worked because you started as someone like Ethan for so long. So that was going to be one of my talking points, was like, do they need to get away from that almost like Avengers approach? Because like they were doing all that stuff long before the MCU, long before the idea of like hero shooters or hero-based games. And they just kind of became as larger than life over time. And it's like that idea of like, do you do a Resi without any of them?
I think they've done well over the past few years at reinventing some of those characters. Like, we're about to get Resident Evil 4, which was the game originally that kind of made Leon S. Kennedy this larger-than-life, you know, action hero, essentially. And we all loved him because of that, but does he fit with kind of, like, a scarier era? And I don't think he necessarily does. And I think it's interesting that with this upcoming Resident Evil 4... he's obviously matured since Resi 2, where he is this kind of rookie cop who's really capable, but he's not necessarily like the full-on anime-style action hero yet. And I think they've managed to blend it quite nicely, where you have these larger-than-life characters still, and they retain some of their personality, but there's more, this might sound weird, there's more humanity to their characterization, or at least their presentation this time around. They feel more like human beings. They feel more like characters, even if they do, even if they are still exaggerated versions of them.
It's because they're fallible, isn't it? It's like, it's, you look at the Resident Evil 2 remakes versions of Claire and Leon, and you're just kind of like, oh, they really are the fish out of water in this scenario. They don't have a clue what's going on. They are making it through by the skin of their teeth in each of these scenarios. And it's like, how do we apply that mentality to the new Resident Evil 4 remake that's coming out? Because, like you said, in that one, he's a stone-cold killer. He's learned a lot of lessons since those 2 points there, but we are nowhere near the same level with our current version of what Leon is. So are they going to have the supporting characters, like complete him, that puzzle of what a hero is? Or is he just going to suddenly be, no, no, I actually did find my action pants today and I am ready to kick ass? Because I think I actually feel that less believable. I might not enjoy that remake as much if they don't put in some like flaws into the character. Maybe I'm looking too much, though.
One thing I'm curious about, just to lay this out as another like talking point, is like the idea of them over time reapproaching RE2, RE3. Like, 3 didn't go down very well. You know, 2 was obviously incredible. And it's that idea of, like, are we just remaking, like, are they gonna remake 5 after this? Are they going to remake 6 to get back up to speed, quote-unquote, so that you have, like, new age versions of all those games? And, like, do they redo parts of 6 to try and iron out, like, which bits they want to keep gameplay-wise and plot-wise?
They'll get in touch with Josh. Josh will just, like, go through the checklist to say, like, oh, I can't find any flab to cut here, man. Let's add another campaign in.
Let's get some more Jake Wesker DLC. But I think, I'm just curious, like, what do they think their character arcs are? Because even talking about, like, Leon in RE2, Leon in RE4, and then I guess you can jump to Leon in RE6. Like, there is an arc there of a rookie becoming a badass kind of thing. And it's like, I wonder whether they just leave the old games there or, like... You know, how much do they want to ground these things?
So much of the appeal of Resident Evil as a whole to me is the fact that it is kind of a mess and it is a walking paradox. You know, I can come on this podcast and say I love it when they go more horror-based, but at the same time, my favorite thing about Ethan Winters as a character is that he constantly gets his hand chopped off and he glues it back together with the herb medicine that he has. Like, if you didn't have that element balancing out the horror... To me, it wouldn't be Resident Evil, and that's such a tight rope to walk because you lean too heavily in one way, you lose the horror. You lean too heavily another way, and it loses its Resident Evilness almost. Mm-hmm. It becomes just another horror franchise inspired by its inspirations. So it's almost like an impossible task to create one of these games for me or to create one of these characters. And I think that's why they have struggled with original characters outside of Ethan Winters and Mia over the past few years because it's really hard to capture that magic. Resident Evil 4 original, the tonal shifts that game makes should be impossible, done by any other game. No one else should attempt to do it. It only got away with it because it was lightning in a bottle, and it's hard to manufacture that, I think.
It's so weird going back to like the original nowadays and just like you remember it being like a 10-on-10 game. Like, it's the best thing since sliced Jesus. But then as soon as you actually sit down and be like, wait a minute, did I just have to run away from a giant mechanical stone statue of this guy who's got a real Napoleon complex? Hang about. Did I just have to go through an entire mine section that was somehow hidden inside a castle? What is the logistics of this? Is this bloody Dark Souls? Horrendous. Like, it's just... bloody mad.
Well, it's always been part of its DNA, right? Like, you go back to Resident Evil 2, which, you know, has a striking aesthetic because it takes place, quote-unquote, in the real world, in recognizable streets with recognizable vehicles, recognizable guns, characters, and whatever. And then you go into a police station that's kitted out in the excuses like, what was it? Like, oh, this is an old museum
It was made by the same guy.
Yeah, I love that because, obviously, video games back in the day, they didn't need to have that logic. It was just, this is just how it is. Accept how it is. The platforms float in real life? No, you idiot, but here they do. Get on with it. But then it was like people start asking questions. They're like, oh, lads, like pulling at that collar. Like, how do we explain this away? So, okay, I've got an idea. What if the person who built all of these underground secret labs and these secret houses as a joke for party guests but somehow contained deadly traps also just built 90% of the other things around? So do you not think somebody would have mentioned that? Like there doesn't seem to be like a lot of like tight-lipped construction workers around Raccoon City. It's like, don't worry, we'll kill all of them. Will that not arouse suspicion either? Don't worry, we'll all be dead before it comes out anyway.
The genius holds through. Was that Oswald? Is that Oswald Spencer?
So Oswald Spencer was the mansion. He was the one that contracted this other guy who was Lisa Trevor's dad, who killed the mother and father and kept her there because she kept on being experimented on and wouldn't die. It's, again, another sub-story that was added into the Resident Evil 1 remake.
Okay. Because, yeah, that idea of the sort of the campiness of it, like the over-the-top stuff, all the ridiculous cutscenes in RE1, that's as much of Resident Evil's DNA as the dog jump scare, which, like, always gets held up as, like, the terrifying moment in gaming. And I think they've, like, walked that line.
Game, by the way, could have flopped so hard. Like, think about it. Like, if you go back to it now, the mechanics of using a tank control system in a survival horror game like that, that is the worst, objectively the worst thing you can give, like, as a control scheme to a survival horror game. And then it's like...
I don't know about that. I'd push... I love tank controls.
That dialogue is awful as well. Like, there's so many things that could have gone so wrong with it, and yet it was just, like Josh was saying before, it's that lightning in a bottle where you can't really explain it by the sum of its parts, but it just is. Mm. It just is that good.
I wonder if they would ever go back. They absolutely would not do this for the next main installment, but if they would ever do something that is more isometric again, and you just like change the combat around, like, I would take that as a hybrid.
This is what I'm wanting, fellas, because, you know, the mainline series is hopefully going to continue to reinvent itself. We've had the remake era where we've had incredible versions, or what looks like incredible versions, of 2, less so 3, but still pretty good, and then 4 upcoming. And whether that continues or not, it's cool either way. After that, if we're going to continue having a Resident Evil every year, which it seems like Capcom wants, and if we're going to have a long stint between the main games and even the remakes at this point, why not supplement that with a classic isometric experience, a proper tank control Resident Evil throwback in the vein of the Resident Evil 1 remake? Because if something like these kind of retro experiences, I think, are all the rage right now. You know, people love going back to, you know, those kind of isometric RPGs that used to define the RPG kind of entire genre. Your old Fallouts, your stuff like that. Your Pillars of Eternity. They get a resurgence. You know, we go back to classic Legend of Zelda style systems and mechanics. That gets a resurgence. Why can't Resident Evil and survival horror have its moment? Because we have seen so many imitators adopt that retro style and find success, whether it's not one-to-one or not. Something like Signalis came out last year, obviously heavily inspired by early Resident Evil games. Everyone loved it. If Resident Evil themselves did it, doesn't have to be as lavish from a production standpoint, doesn't have to have as much money pumped into it, but give us that on the side. Like, that's such a good way for me to kind of, in my opinion, to help keep this franchise alive, essentially.
Do you know what the perfect game that already exists within their library that would make that a dream come true? Outbreak. Mm-hmm. If they did a remaster of the Outbreak files, but kept the isometric thing, but just focused on the multiplayer co-op aspects.
I was going to say, was that the PS2 online?
Yeah, because it was one of those things where it was so ahead of its time. Again, it goes back to my original argument that Resident Evil's always been the ones that embrace tech, whether good or bad, and it always just seems to be that's what dictates it. It would, because it goes against their ethos, as it were, of always moving with tech to do something that is isometric and old school or retro. But if they framed it around remastering Outbreak and did it so that it was focusing on the multiplayer aspect of it, then they would have that retro aspect that would probably shift by the bucket loads, and they'd be doing a great honor to a game that did not get its time in the sun. I don't know if you guys even played the PS2 version.
You had to get the modem for it. I remember I got the modem to play Metal Gear Substance, and then I managed to log into Resident Evil, but you had to make an account for it or whatever. I remember not being able to get it to work.
It basically shot itself in the foot with like how much work it was to get it working, and then no one was online anyway.
It was one of those games with such a striking cover. I can't remember whether it was Outbreak 1 or 2, where it was just sort of like a white background. It said Resident Evil Outbreak, and it had like the zombie hands coming towards you. And I just thought
from the side of the frame.
Yeah, from the side of the frame. I thought that looked sick as a kid.
I'll tell you what, Josh. In the second one, it had zombie elephants in. I tell you what, this game needs more love. It is absolutely brilliant. Like, I think that you can play it.
They did a second one.
You can play it single player. I'm pretty sure you can play it offline. So I would say that if you're a Resident Evil aficionado, go get a copy of that, because it's not going to be more than like a couple of quid at this point in time.
Because I don't know if they're still doing the RE-verse, that weird like multiplayer PvP thing. Like, I don't think anyone wants that thing. And it's like, that idea of someone, some big wig at Capcom being like, how do we tap into what the kids are into? And then trying to find some way of forcing a multiplayer component in. Because I feel like Revelations 1 and 2 did it really, really well. Obviously, it was only a co-op style thing.
Yep.
But if you want to do something wider than that, like you said, it's like that idea of almost the Resident Evil meets 4-player co-op, or I guess a 6- or 8-player co-op.
Yeah.
I would take something like that as a way of trying something new anyway.
Oh, I think I'm shaking my head because I think it's tried it too many times.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fellas, you know, we've had Operation Raccoon City. We've had Umbrella Corps. That's, you know, try to take, it's like Dylan going electric. It's trying to take Resident Evil multiplayer. We've got Reverse now, and it's just never worked, and it sucks because I want some of these games to work, but it's just, I feel like they've tried. But
the concept of Reverse actually is a really sound one. The idea of like you fighting and then one of you becomes one of the iconic big bads from the series is a great thing on paper. It's just, why have they made this game so unappealing to control?
It just looks like a weird like asset flip thing. It's like we sort of just took these models and threw them in these environments. Like, it just looks like the weird, like a game jam.
And you know
like,
what?
For, like,
people were still completely like burned on the idea of it ever since that. It was, let's face fact, it was the reason why the Resident Evil 3 remake wasn't as good as everyone expected, because they launched it alongside. It was like, you buy Resident Evil 3 remake and you get this, air quotes, for free. But the amount of dev time that was spent on that should clearly have just gone back into the original game to expand out a few areas, maybe cut a bit of padding that was just chucked in, maybe just expand the amount of time you spend with Nemesis, for Christ's sake. I mean, he's the titular star of the show, and yet he goes from awesome bin bag form to dog form in about 40 minutes, and it's just like, dude, like, get this pedigree chump out of here.
I hated how fast all the stuff with RE3 happened. Like, I thought that was just so rushed. I guess kid me thought that you spent so long like just surviving in the city with him bursting out of all the different corners, all that weird decision making stuff you had to do, and all those different paths and everything. Like, that was such a cool idea for like 1998 or whatever. I thought it was sweet. One wider thing I was going to talk about was just villains in general. So I guess Nemesis kind of factors in, Mr. X kind of factors in, the idea of like AI systems in general, because I feel like me and Josh were talking about this before you were recording, but like Resident Evil themselves, like obviously the original trilogy is sort of known, like Resident Evil is known as a zombie franchise, like a zombie overall IP or whatever, but RE4, it was like they brought in the Las Plagas, like I feel like that was because of 28 Days, for me that was because of 28 Days Later's impact on entertainment, where it was like zombies run now, and what else can you think of, and we had Las Plagas, and then so like RE5 and 6, like RE5 you had infected people again, and it was Las Plagas again. 6, it was kind of back to zombies, but they had guns and stuff, it was just all over the place. And then 7, it was the mold, and then 8 was the molded again, or it was like that the metamycete thing or the megamycete thing. And I just feel like you talk about like them going in cycles of like sort of like stumbling through this. It's almost like they don't want to fully commit to the zombie stuff, so they kind of do weird tweaks on it. But it depends what they would do going forward.
I wonder why they are so abjectly against the zombie idea. I guess because they're trying to tie it to different viruses. So it was just that one virus recreated this sort of like the idea of the living dead, and it changes each and every time. But the more that we start to move towards these almost like mini Godzilla monster movie of the week style thing, like the molded, I did not find scary in the slightest. I was like, you've literally just taken the most basic design of, you've said to a kid, here's a marker pen, draw me a monster. Oh, you've drawn a squiggle with teeth, thank you very much.
Literally it reminds me of that the weird like the clumps from the 2016 Suicide Squad that they fight, that weird like polygonal like messes, like it wasn't anything.
So I cannot be bothered to think of anything.
Again, I think it's what you were saying earlier, Jules. I think the enemies that we've seen so far have been dictated by the tech and the style of gameplay. You know, you have the tank controls, you have like the slower gameplay of the original series. What's the perfect enemy to complement that kind of style? It's slow, shambling zombies who are creeping up on you. You move to third person and you have more control over your aim, but you still can't move while you're aiming. You're still static. What's the natural progression of that? Well, it's zombies, but it's zombies who have melee weapons that you can throw stuff at you and are a little bit faster and come in packs because you can aim them better. Aim at their limbs, aim at the objects coming towards you, but they're still slow because you have that lack of mobility. You jump to first person and you suddenly have so much more control over your aim, but you've got that narrow field of view. So now again, you can have the agile monsters, but you might only have a couple on screen at a time again with like the one or two molder that you would fight. And it's interesting to see where they would go from here, because it's almost like, to me, they perfected each of those eras, and all of the enemies that they've introduced have kind of fully complemented the style of gameplay they're going towards. So to me, I would love to see zombies return. It just depends in what way. I think Resident Evil 2 made a really smart decision of making the zombies more formidable. They would
they were so scary, man.
Yeah, they would take a bunch of headshots. They would keep going after you kind of took out their legs. And it was more about, it was kind of closer to Dead Space and the strategic dismemberment. You couldn't necessarily put them down reliably. And even if you thought they were dead, they would get up kind of like Crimson Head. So it was more a case of, they're obstacles and not enemies. It's how am I going to clear out this room so they're not a problem afterwards, which I thought was a cool workaround. And I wonder if they can reinvent them in the same way again for first person, maybe.
I do think that the zombies, they are the best monster that they have created, even though they haven't created them. It's the best one that they've popularized within the video game medium, because as much as you can look at the, what were the enemies you fought in Resident Evil Revelations? The weird blobby creatures that were on the ship. They had a funny name as well.
Yeah,
but it's like they are all good in their own right, like you say, Josh. But I just think that you can't beat the zombies. I still think that Resident Evil 2 Remake is, if it's one of, if not the perfect survival
like
horror game.
It's quintessential Resident Evil,
It's one of those things where it feels odd to recommend it because it feels so recent in the grand scheme of things, but it is recommended playing for horror fans. Like, it's that good at how it deals enemy AI, the way that you could be tracking them with your movement of the cursor, and then they'll just do a little head bob here and there, and you're like, oh, you bastard! How dare you move out of the way of my gun?
I guess that's the thing they want to, like, that's what I'm saying about, like, how they sort of innovate on, like, zombie AI, where I really like the thing that they did in 2, where if you shot a dude in the stomach with a shotgun, the top half still crawls after you, and it's that's a nice or a fun innovation on something that is so old and so done, for the most part. I wonder as well, in terms of, like, character abilities, like, in Shadows of Rose, I haven't played Shadows of Rose, but I've seen a lot of, like, footage of it, you do get access to more of, like, Rose's powers in general, and that's something that they were sort of teasing across, like, RE8, and it's, like, that idea of, like, because I was wondering, like, what did they have in mind for RE9? Because RE7's DLC was like expansions of existing characters and stuff. You didn't really, it's not like you, like in 8, you jump ahead and it's like, okay, now she's growing up, this is what she's up to, and whatever. I always thought RE9 would be a Rose game anyway, so the fact that they did that for RE8 makes me wonder if RE9 is a whole separate thing.
But if they did it for a full-fledged story with her at the forefront, and they've already shown that her powers can work within the game world, what you've done then is you've completely elevated and changed Resident Evil again as to what it is, because it's now a survival horror with psychic elements. And if we're starting to move towards a Galarians game, and if you know that game from the PlayStation 1, my God, that is a deep cut. I'm looking over there. Josh is a sweet smug of, like, in a summer field. He's like, I have no idea. PS1 game, Galarians, you play as a kid who gets psychic powers, and it's like a survival horror game. It is so bad, but I love it so much. Like, it's brilliant fun.
Like, full-on superpowers is, like, one thing they've never done. They kind of, like, have bits of it. Those are some of the weakest parts, I guess, in terms of, like, characters that are elevating. Like, that weird sort of mech fight you do against that dude in Village.
It would be kind of ironic if the whole way through, let's just go back to, like, Albert Wesker's ideal plan of, like, I want to be the super soldier, the one super soldier on this planet. Basically, I want to be Homelander. That's his entire gimmick, isn't it? And then his plans and all of Umbrella's and all of Tricell's have failed so spectacularly that now the protagonist of the game is the actual most OP superpowered soldier with actual psychic powers who isn't mutated. It's like, oh, sucks to be you then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My take on this, fellas, and it might not be a popular one, is that Resident Evil as a game is kind of only scary because you are a bag of flesh who can be devoured even by one monster. And I don't want to get too powerful. I like that I'm just someone is over the top as they might be in Leon S. Kennedy in Resident Evil 4, Chris Redfield in Resident Evil 5 and 6, who is capable, but ultimately is just a guy with a gun. And if you make a mistake with one enemy, they will jump on your face and they will, like, rip it apart. That's kind of, like, the appeal of the horror to me. And I thought Resident Evil 4 and even 8, like, struck a really good balance of making you someone who is initially not that capable, who becomes more familiar with weapons and taking out these monsters. And it's that thrill of overcoming the enemy. And I just, no matter what gameplay style it has, I want that kind of same curve of initially being terrified by these things and then in hour 12 feeling confident enough to take out an entire room of them.
And then in hour 15, you leading them around, shooting them once just to stun them, pushing past them, flipping them the finger as you do so. Yeah, like flipping off Mr. X as he's walking around there. Just go like, oh, you want to come into this room? It's the clock tower. Can't come in here, can you, big idiot? You big willy. You big willy, mate.
I feel like, I'm going to make a weird comparison here, but I feel like Resident Evil needs its My Hero Academia moment. Ooh. And I mean that you tell a much more interesting story when you are a regular person in a world of heroes than you do when you are another one of those heroes.
Yeah, true.
Which is kind of what you were saying, Josh. And I wonder, that whole thing, the reason that all the Chris stuff in Village was so cool was because you knew you were underpowered compared to him, and he like held all the cards, all the story pull of like, what's he really doing? And I feel like you can do a lot more with like what secret government business are the stars people up to, and then what am I, how do I factor in, and then getting caught up in all that stuff and not being able to fend for yourself in those combat scenarios.
It is, interestingly, I think one of the major mistakes that the original Resident Evil movie series made, and I like that series for how ridiculous it is, but there's no horror there because your hero Alice is literally someone with superpowers, and it's like, that is cool to see, but it's the, for me, the whole appeal of Resident Evil is that you have these huge personalities, yes, but they are not superheroes at the end of the day. They're capable of insane things. They're able to punch a boulder into a volcano at times, but the best versions of those characters are a little more fallible, like you were saying, and a little bit more vulnerable and fragile almost.
That's a question. If they do end up remaking RE5 and 6, do they take out the boulder punch? Do they take out the stuff
that they lean into it? They lean into it. They have even more boulders. They have one of the bosses be called the boulder, and you take it on and you punch it into it. And Wesker John pops boulder. Out again, even though you've pushed him into the volcano. He pops out one more time to go, Chris! But then the boulder lands on top of him this time and crushes him again. So it was actually.
They would do a boulder with a mouth. Yeah, just definitely. Screaming definitely. At you. Yeah, yeah.
I've got one thing to ask you guys, and I know we've already talked about villains, but I think such a defining part of the series' history and current history is the idea of like a persistent enemy, whether that's Mr. X, who we've talked about, Nemesis, Lady Dimitrescu in Resident Evil 8, or at least for a little bit of it. And me personally, I love that that facilitates these exceptional and memorable villains, but I'm kind of over, from a gameplay perspective, the idea of being constantly chased by someone. Yeah. I like that here and there, but as a franchise defining thing, I wonder whether me and Resident Evil are just kind of going on separate paths, and it's like, you're doing that and I respect why, but it might not be for me.
Yeah, no, I
think if they hadn't burned that card so fast on the remake of 3, like 2 was so like, oh my god, they've like almost come up with a new idea. I mean, obviously we've had pursuer enemies in like Alien Isolation, but like the whole thing with like, now it's Capcom doing it, it's Resident Evil doing it, it's Mr. X, like they're sort of doubling down on this idea of making it an identifiable factor. And then Nemesis felt like a worse version of Mr. X, and it's like you needed that escalation of what the AI, like if that AI can second guess you, where like you think you're outwitting it, so you go around a different way or you put a trap down or whatever, but it knows what you're going to do. Like, it's that whole way the Creative Assembly came up with in Isolation. There's like two AI brains that talk to each other, and that's how it determines how much it can track you. I think something like that, it needs that overhaul, or it needs that, like, we need to feel as a player that we have no idea how it's even tracking us or something. Or maybe the level itself is imbued with some sort of fungus that does something. I don't know, whatever. I've been watching The Last of Us, but I feel like they could do something with that would sort of capitalize on the promise of Mr. X that sort of seemed like it was going to go in a direction that they just didn't.
Well, think about how they dealt with it in Metroid Dread with the Emmy robots. Oh. Like, they did it perfectly there because they did hunt you down relentlessly, but they were limited to certain areas. And I feel like if you did it so that it's like you're entering the danger zone, tyrants have been seen in the area or whatever, and you go there, then you have every excuse for Capcom to dial up the difficulty, to have them absolutely pummel you into the ground for even the slightest mistake, because it then tells you you are relatively safe outside of these areas, but you know going in there that you are about to risk everything. That's how you keep a persistent-ish enemy more relevant, by dialing the difficulty but lowering the cost of the player if they don't want to go into that area.
That's maybe how you could do the isometric stuff. Like if you came into a room and the camera's way more in the distance, you're like a little small character at the top of the frame, and it's like you got to explore this whole thing.
Mate, just bring back the ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom choice systems. If you're going to do isometric stuff like that, make it so that you have to make a split-second choice of fight Nemesis now, run away. Like, the rewards are great here, but you will probably get your ass handed to you. Because of the fact that it's a persistent enemy, you don't get that choice. And unfortunately, after, like, hour 12, when Josh was saying you've started to become used to the mechanics, you're starting to just go like, oh, Jack, why don't you just piss off, mate? Seriously, like will you just go away? Because you're not even, like, scary anymore. I know how to beat your AI. You're just getting in the way of me solving this puzzle quicker.
Which is what happened with Mr. X as well, where it's like, I need to turn this crank in this room, but he keeps standing in the way of it, so I have to kite him over here and then come back.
Oh, it's a nightmare if you're trying to do those, is it the hardcore S-rank runs, when you're just there, like, you only have 2.5 hours or 2 hours to play with, and you're like, oh, sitting in here for like 15 seconds waiting for you to go away. It's like killing my run. Come on, dude. Right. Like,
that's why the Crimson Heads, I think, work so well, because they're pursuer enemies like the ones we've been talking about, but they accomplish the same job for me, and they instill a sense of inevitable dread if you know about them. You know, you might play the Resident Evil 1 remake and have no idea that Crimson Heads exist. If you don't know what Crimson Heads are, they're essentially dead zombies that come back to life and are even stronger. So you take out a zombie in a room and you don't burn the body, you know there's a chance if you go back to that room later on in the game, they're going to be back. And not only are they going to be back, they're going to be bloodthirsty, they're going to be stronger, they're going to be more powerful. I love that as a concept, and I want to see it played with more, but obviously the only way you can play with that more is if you have similar level design and have a game that encourages you to go back through spaces rather than a more linear progression where you're not returning to areas. I thought they could have added it into Resident Evil 8, because you go back to a lot of areas in that game, and sometimes enemies do get back up. They get back up in Resi 2, but not in the same way, and not, it doesn't fill you with the same dread of, oh my god, I did not deal with that zombie in that hallway, and I know that hallway is going to be integral to my progression. I'm going to have to go back, and it's a problem future Josh has to solve. I think that taps into something really unique.
I love the fact that as well, that Resident Evil 2 Remake showcased, I think it was 3 different new zombie enemy types, and then they just never appeared in any other game going forward, because in the Ghost Survivors DLC, they added in 1 new enemy per DLC pack that they dropped. So I think that one of them has like the pale heads where they can never die, but they get slowed down if you shoot into them. Then there was one that's like a poison zombie, and I can't remember what the other one was actually, but I know that there was another type of zombie they added in, and it just meant that they can revolutionize their own concept of using zombies in different ways, but they just haven't seemed to do that yet.
I like the...
Well,
yeah, the
four,
idea
four
of
may
that.
Prove me wrong, though, to be fair. They might put them all in four.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I like the idea of them applying the virus. Like, the virus stuff lets them do anything. They can be like, oh, this... Because even with Lady Dimitrescu, like, when she mutates, she's like a weird giant flying horse Pegasus thing. And it's like, what the hell is this? But, like, that's some weird strand of the virus just has that as an effect to it. But, yeah, speaking of, like, sections of levels that are super intense, or the idea of, like, making it so that, like, some enemies are locked to certain parts of the level. I remember, like, the upstairs, like, liquor corridor in RE2 Remake. I just remember thinking that was so cool, and, like, walking through that main corridor. And it was back when I was in the big light days, so it tells you how effective that stuff was. Where I knew it was in the room. I could hear it breathing, but I couldn't see it. And it was like when you have to hunt like a big spider in real life. And I'm just like looking around each wall. And I literally, honestly, complete truth, looked like panned the camera to the left, and it was on the wall next to me. It was just right there. And I was just like, it was just, its tongue was just hanging down. And I just sort of like did that almost like a real life reaction of like, oh, okay, I'll just have to slowly meander around this. But it was so, so effective. And I was like, if you could tap into that, the creepy crawly kind of feeling, because they've had bits of that in Resident Evil with literal spiders, but that was just so effective. And I was like, for whatever reason, it placed it there. And it was probably there when I entered the corridor in the first place. But the fact that I didn't know and then found it myself was just unbelievably effective and just creepy as hell. So there is that. We should close on, I guess, general thoughts on where we're at on Resident Evil. It's one of the most beloved IPs on the planet. RE4 is coming out in a couple of weeks. Jules, where you are on it? What do you want to see? Do you want main more more main installments? You want more remakes?
I am dead excited for it right now, because after Resident Evil 8 added in so much love and care after it had its release, I thought that was an exceptional choice. A classy move by Capcom. And Resident Evil 4, I really hope it lives up to the hype. Everything that I've seen so far seems to be suggesting that it will do. And I think that in terms of where I want the series to go next, I could wait for another mainline installment, because I do think that we've got the likes of Resident Evil 0, we've got the likes of Code Veronica, and maybe even some of the first-person games like Dead Aim that could deserve the remake treatment and still fit in with what Resident Evil is currently. Like Josh was saying, if we want to lean into the PSVR stuff, imagine like a Survivor game or a Dead Aim game that is the rail shooter, but with the Resident Evil franchise thing.
Is Dead Aim the one that's on the ship?
No, so that's that is Revelations 1, that one.
No, there was one that was on like the PS1. There was a light gun one that was like sat on a ship. I can't remember,
but I know that there was one that was like Dead Aim and the other one was Survivor, I think. Right. But they might be I'm the same game, like, but with US and UK names. I can't remember. Either way, do that.
Yeah, if they did a third-person one that was on a ship, that would just be Cold Fear.
Super what a game. What a game, man.
Putting Cold Fear on a modern platform.
I also remember that it let you play as whatever first-person Resident Evil game I'm thinking of, it let you play as Albert Wesker. Because it was like him after he got his ass handed to him by the tyrant, and he stands up and he just goes like, well then, guess I better get out of here.
I do not remember that, but I wish I did. Josh Brown, what do you think?
I want everything, fellas. I want more mainline games that continue to reinvent themselves. I want more remakes. I would happily continue to live in a world where we get a 5 remake, where we get a 0 remake, where we get a Code Veronica remake, an Outbreak remake. Just keep going and keep making those old games
Keep bloody going.
In some cases. I also want those isometric titles that I was talking about earlier. But most importantly, I don't want the franchise to stagnate, because I think it's in a really good spot right now. But every time Resident Evil is in a good spot, it starts to make mistakes. We get Resident Evil 6, we get an over-reliance on, you know, Resident Evil 3 style gameplay, we get a bunch of spin-offs that don't quite hit, and the franchise starts to scramble. I'm hopeful that this year, with the likes of the Dead Space remake coming out, with Silent Hill returning, Capcom will maintain its constant need to innovate, because it's got competitors breathing down its neck now, finally, after a period of kind of just a monopoly on big budget survival horror gameplay. So hopefully we get a bit of everything, and it just kind of continues to keep moving at the pace that it's in, because I think it's at a good spot.
I wonder if it's stronger as a wider brand than a single installment thing. Like, I want them to do round off whatever this trilogy is, if it is a trilogy of titles, maybe with Rose, whatever you do, and then do something insane for Resident Evil 10. I think it just feels like a big landmark thing that you should do a big 10th installment story thing. But yeah, like the amount, when we just covered there, the amount of different strands they have going on, like the remakes and all the spin-offs and the different perspectives, and like first person Resi, third person Resi, isometric Resi. Like, I feel like there's so much scope there to do, and even the little spin-offs like Revelations are so beloved. Like Revelations 1 is like kind of touted as like this Resident Evil 4 style, like one of the last times they just did an over shoulder one that wasn't ridiculous. And I feel like that could be something that, like, that style is something they'd like took off over time. But yeah, I think I'm up for everything as well. It's all pretty good. Resident Evil's quite nice.
Hey,
just like this podcast. Hey, go on, Josh.
I was going to say, Resident Evil's good, isn't it? That's what we always come to the conclusion of every time we do a Resident Evil podcast. What a good series.
I was thinking that. I was like, the amount, it's quite good that at the end of it, we don't need a specific thing. That it is so, like, the stumbling nature of it, as Jules said at the very, very beginning, is its greatest strength. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we don't want a specific thing, that it is quite experimental and is known for that, is in itself an insanely good quality, kind of like a Metal Gear or something.
I don't think that happens with any other series. Like, you see other series try to do something new, and everyone's like, what's this? This isn't what X series is. But now you can say the next Resident Evil is going to have werewolves in it and witches and giant vampire ladies.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, that sounds weird, but it's probably going to be mint. It's probably going to be great. Excellent, yeah.
We've got telekinesis this time. Yeah, okay, sure. But anyway, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Josh Brown.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Always a pleasure to be heard by every single one of you. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Stores, boys. Resident Evil.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.